podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I know that when we come together on a Sunday morning that we carry a lot of stuff with us when we get here, you know, not just talking about your Bibles and your Sunday school things and, you know, your purses and whatever else you carry with you, but there's stuff in your heart also. There's accumulation from the past week. And so, you know, answer this question. When you woke up this morning, what was on your heart? What was on your heart when you woke up this morning? What was embedded in your soul this morning when you woke up? And, you know, some of you might say it was anxiety, stress. Maybe you're just tired, sad. Maybe you're angry this morning for some reason. There's bitterness. Perhaps there's envy or jealousy or hatred. Or maybe you woke up this morning and there was joy. You know, inexpressible joy. There was just cheer. There was happiness. There was contentment, peace. So answer that question, because only you can answer that. Because you can make your face say a whole lot of things, but there's something going on in your heart that none of us can see. So when you woke up this morning, what was on your heart? What was embedded in your soul today? What was that first thought? This morning, a passage of Scripture, David kind of talks to himself in Psalm 103 to tell his own soul what it should be thinking. Psalm 103, if you've ever been to a symphony orchestra or you've seen when you got there, the symphony members of that orchestra arise one after the other. All the instruments begin to arrive, and when they sit down in their seats and they get their music ready and they take their instruments out of their cases and they begin to just warm up their instruments and blow on their instruments and play runs up and down, and you've probably seen that, and it gets loud and it's a cacophony of sound and it doesn't make any sense, and the instruments just play, and suddenly when the time comes, the leader of the violin section stands up in front of the orchestra, takes his violin and holds it up. And when he does that, or she does that, the orchestra goes quiet. And they all look up at the concertmaster, which is also the name for the leader of the violin section. And the concertmaster plays a note on the violin, just one steady note. And then the violins come in with that same note. They begin to tune up their instruments. And then the oboe plays that same note, and the rest of the orchestra gets their cue from the oboe, and they all start to tune up, and before long, everybody is in tune. The concertmaster sits down, and the conductor walks in. The conductor gets in front of the orchestra, takes his baton and taps it on his stand, and everybody is quiet. Everyone's quiet and poised, and the conductor raises his hands, and there's complete silence in the room, preparing for that first note. And then as soon as his hands move, it begins. You know, whatever it's that particular symphony sounds like, it could be dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, it's just the whole orchestra comes in, and beautiful music comes from the group. And that's kind of what Psalm 103 is like. It's kind of like a symphony. David begins this psalm as the concertmaster. So he gets up and he takes his violin, his voice, and he says in Psalm 103, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name." So it begins with him. But by the time we get to verse 20, toward the end here of Psalm 103, he says, "Praise the Lord, you his angels." Verse 21, "Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts." Verse 22, "Praise the Lord, all his works." So it just begins with the concertmaster David getting up and playing his note of praise. And by the end of this psalm, all of God's creation is involved in praising his name. In between those two bookends here in Psalm 103 are a number of reasons why we should praise God. So he doesn't just tell his soul to praise God. He doesn't just tell everyone to praise God, but he says, here's why we should be praising God. So if you're open to Psalm 103, let's read this passage of Scripture. Starting with verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful piece of poetry, a song written by a king. Father, we thank You, Lord, that His example to us is to bend His knee, to humble Himself before You, and to remember all of the blessings that come from You. May we learn from His example this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the truth of the matter is that praising God is good for you, it turns out. It's good for you. It's healthy. It's good to praise the Lord. In fact, it says that in Scripture in Psalm 92, it says it's good to praise the Lord and make music to Your name, O Most High, proclaiming Your love in the morning, Your faithfulness at night. Also, Psalm 147:1 says how good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Psalm 135 says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to His name, for that is pleasant. So Scripture teaches us, not just in those verses, but throughout, that to praise God is good for you. And that's good for us this time of the year, Thanksgiving. As we recognize that we set aside this one day per year to think about what God has done in the past year and to praise Him for all of those blessings. But the truth of the matter is, it needs to be more than just a one day thing. It needs to be a lifetime thing, because it's that good for us. So we've been looking at some of the scriptural remedies, medicine for the soul, and this morning we come to our final one, which is a prescription of praise. If there's one prescription, perhaps, that the Lord would write out for you to help you this morning with whatever you woke up with on your heart, it would be praise. Just one word on the prescription, praise. That's what we need to do. We need to fill that prescription. We need to take it liberally. We need to allow His praise to fill us. First of all, let's look at the symptoms of a praise deficiency. If you're not praising God, what are the symptoms of that? Well, first of all, you have an underutilized soul. An underutilized soul. See, this is how David starts off. Bless the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. See, your soul was created to give praise to God. But that's how God created you. That's how God wired you. That when God designed you, He designed you with a need to praise Him. It's a part of who you are, to be filled with gratitude that overflows from your heart. He created you that way. Now, we need something to praise, in other words. We understand that as human beings, because we're always looking for something to praise. Something outside ourselves that is great. Something that each day we can say, man, did you see that? It was awesome. Did you see that car that just drove by? That thing was incredible. Did you watch that program last night? Wasn't that great? Did you see that game? Did you see that race? Did you see that play? Man, that was great. I got, watch this replay. And we get out our little iPads or our phones. And we say, look at this picture. Look at this thing. Isn't this awesome? And that's half of what Facebook is all about. People like things. Did you see this? How great that is? You need to see this video. It's hilarious. Everybody's seen it. And this is what we're all about as human beings, is finding something to praise, finding something to get excited about. So think about that for just a moment. What is it that you've been praising? What is it that you've been excited about? What is it that is incredible and awesome in your world right now? What is that thing? What is it that you've been promoting to others? You know? David kind of stops here in Psalm 103 and says, soul, reserve your praise for the Lord, Jehovah. Praise Him. Bless His name. Promote Him. May He be the thing that is awesome in your life. May He be what is incredible in your world. May He be, the Lord, be what's viral in your life. He created us to praise. And when we don't praise, we're kind of like a decorative piano. You know, some of you have that in your house. I know you do. You got a little piano sitting in the corner that nobody ever plays, right? Maybe somebody used to play it, or maybe somebody never played it. I don't know. But you have a piano in your home, and it just sits there. And, you know, you've got a potted plant on it. You know, Christmas time comes, and you put your nativity scene on it. Whatever. There it sits. An instrument that was designed to play beautiful music that's just sitting there, not being used. You're not being plunked until a child comes and starts banging on, and you say, no, 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 don't mess with it. It's been out of tune for years. Nobody really cares, but there it is, that piano in your house, and it's not being utilized for what it was built for. The piano was not built to hold stuff. It's not built for that purpose, for people to look at and go, well, isn't that pretty? It's built to make music. And you were built to give praise to God. And if you're not giving praise to God through your life, through your words, through the way that you express yourself to others, if you are not praising the Lord, oh, your soul, then the truth of the matter is you're just like that piano sitting in the corner, underutilized for what it was designed to do. Our soul is made to praise the Lord. So don't misplace your praise. You know, and praise something that doesn't deserve to be praised. Put your praise in one box. Give it to the Lord. Now, you can look at some stuff that is in this world and say, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that great? There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you realize that anything that's beautiful comes from where? From the Lord. From the Lord. So we look at it and say, isn't that awesome? Praise God for that. Or we look at it and say, you know, I really enjoyed that movie. I wonder what it is about that movie. What it is about that movie that's praiseworthy. What I saw in that movie that reminds me of God. Was it a story about redemption? Because God's a redeemer. What was it about that really grabbed me and shook me up? Because you might be able to boil it down to the truth of who God is. So the symptoms of praise deficiency are an underutilized soul, but also unrecognized blessings. David says, forget not all his benefits in verse 2. Forget not all of his benefits, his blessings, all of the good things that he has done for you. All of his dealings, all of his kind deeds. Do not forget who God is and what God has done for you. But oh, how we have a tendency to forget, don't we? Oh, how we have a tendency to forget. We forget all of the good things in life, and we tend to remember all of the bad things. We tend to remember all of the negative things that have happened in our life, all of the cross words that were spoken to us, and we forget all of the good things, the ways that God has blessed. So blessings that go unrecognized do not attach themselves to your heart. They just kind of flush through your system, and you don't get the value out of them. It's kind of like if you were to eat a piece of chocolate this morning, okay, and you put that in your mouth and you just kind of chewed it and swallowed it. It's gone. It's gone, man. You didn't enjoy it, you know. You got to take that thing and let it sit on your tongue and melt slowly and taste it and enjoy it. You know that? Otherwise, it's wasted. Well, what about the good things that God brings into our life? What David's saying here is allow these good things to melt over your soul. Experience them. Thank God for them. Praise Him for them. And don't forget all those benefits. Because if you do, there are unrecognized blessings in your life that are not helping you. But we need to spend time meditating on who He is and what He's done. Well, what are the causes of a praise deficiency? One is practical atheism. Maybe we really don't believe in God. Maybe we talk about God, but the truth of the matter is, if we're not praising Him, do we really believe in Him? Is it possible to believe in God and not praise His name? Is it possible to believe in God and not have a heart filled with gratitude every day for every breath you take and everything that happens in your life? When we live without a soul full of praise, we live as if there is no God. And anything good that happens in your life, you got to realize comes from God, right? Again, James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every perfect gift, every good gift comes from above, Scripture says. It comes from the Father of lights, Scripture says. It comes from God Himself. But when we live as if we bring blessings on ourselves, man, look what I earned, look what I did for myself. Or when we live as if we're lucky, boy, how lucky I am that I have all of this in my life. And we miss the opportunity to praise God and to live. We live then as if He doesn't even exist. So one time I was playing golf, and whenever I play golf and they stick me with other people to play golf with, that's why when I play golf, I like to go with friends. Reason for that is if I go by myself, I end up with people in about the third, fourth hole, and some of you have heard this before. They'll ask me the question, so what do you do for a living, Jack? I'd like to say anything else, but I say, well, I'm a pastor. Changes the conversation, right? It is a game changer, right? First thing, I've golfed with people before who will say, oh, you know the first three holes, all that stuff I said? Just forget that, I'm sorry. You know, suddenly it's confession time. You know, I'll just kind of shrug my shoulders and say, you know, whatever, just be yourself, be comfortable. But that's just the way it is for some reason. And I was playing golf with one guy, and this is a long time ago, but this has made an impression on my heart because it was about the third or fourth hole, and he tees off, and the ball takes a hook and lands in the water, splash, right? And he's about to yell something, and then he holds it back, you know, and he says, man, I am unlucky today. And then he says, not that I believe in luck. And here he is worried about his theology in front of me as we're golfing, you know. But I think he had a point there, and his point was this. Look, Christians do not believe in luck. We may use that language from time to time, but the truth of the matter is that we have a God who is in control. So, you know, maybe we use the word providence, you know, or God's design in our life, you know, if we want to get fancy. But the truth of the matter is we should never say, man, am I lucky? Because you're thanking fate for what has happened in your life, rather than saying, wow, am I blessed? Am I favored by God? And recognize that your life has nothing to do with luck or chance or fate. It has everything to do with God, who is alive and active and working in your life. And if we live with a heart that's not filled with gratitude and praise for who God is and what He's doing and what He's working in our life, we're practically atheists. We don't really believe in God if we're not thanking Him. Another cause of praise deficiency is personal pity. What I mean by that is we're always feeling sorry for ourselves. We do not praise God because we concentrate on the bad things that are happening, and we make ourselves out to be victims in life. Like, oh, woe is me for all these terrible things that are happening in my life. But Scripture says, rejoice in the Lord How many times?
Always.
And again, I say rejoice. But it's easy in a broken world to complain in the Lord always. And again, I say complain. And to throw a pity party for ourselves. I like in this passage of Scripture where David says, look, God knows you are dust, verse 14. He knows how you were formed. He remembers that we are dust, or as the Message version puts it, he remembers and he knows that you are mud. He knows what we're made of, right? God knows about us. In fact, he's the one who breathed life into us and gave us a soul to begin with. We were created in his image, so he picked up dust and he breathed into it, and Adam became a man as a result of that. So he knows we're dirt. He knows we're mud. He knows we're dust. He knows we're like the grass of the field, it says in this passage. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. He knows our lives are short. He recognizes all of this about us because he's the one who created us. He knows that there's good that happens in our life and there's bad that happens in our life. He knows that sometimes we want to praise his name and sometimes we want to curse his name because of what happens in our life. He understands that, all of it. He knows because he is God. But David here in Psalm 103, no matter what has happened in his life, and some believe he wrote this toward the end of his life, and you think of all the experiences that David went through, starting with his battle with Goliath, remembering that he was anointed as to be the king of Israel at a very young age, remembering his relationship with Jonathan, remembering the death of Jonathan, his best friend, and Saul the king, then him being enthroned as the king, and all of the battles that he won, and the desire that he had to build a temple, but he was never able to do that, and his sin with Bathsheba, and the murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, and then the loss of his child, and then his son toward the rest of his life, who was trying to take over the throne from him, Absalom, and then Absalom being killed in battle. You take all of David's life and say, my goodness, what he went through. He experienced it all. And yet here, if the commentators are right, and this is the end of his life, he says, praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord, my soul. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves, you know what, soul, you got to praise God, because look at all of the benefits and the blessings that God has poured out into our world. So what does it mean to praise God? Let's look at the description of praise. The description of praise, as this prescription is written out for us, and we take it, what does it look like? Well, first of all, praise is to proclaim God's qualities. And that's what David does in this passage. As we read through the passage, you saw he's a God who forgives. He's a God who heals. He's a God who redeems. He's a God who crowns us. He's a God who satisfies us. He's a God who renews us. He's a God who works justice for those who are oppressed. He's a God who's compassionate, merciful, patient. And you could do your own Bible study on Psalm 103 and just extract everything that it says about God and who he is. So first begin there to proclaim the qualities and attributes of God. But then praise is also to remember God's blessing. And this is where it gets personalized. So you take the qualities, the things that are true about God, and you say, how have I experienced them personally in my life? And that's a part of praise as well. God has forgiven me of all of my sins, and I know what my sins are. And God, it says, has separated them from me as far as the east is from the west. And God will not be angry with me forever. That God has been merciful and compassionate with me. That God is a God who heals, and I've experienced his healing in my life over and over and over again, from minor cuts to sicknesses. I've experienced his healing in my life. That God redeems me, that he took me from the pit, from hell, it says, and he placed me on beside his throne and crowned me with his love, the passage says. That this is about me, that these blessings and benefits and attributes of God, this isn't just theology, this is personal. That these blessings have occurred in my life, that God has satisfied me, that God has renewed me, that God works justice. When it isn't fair and life isn't fair, I can trust that in the end God's going to set things right. that God is compassionate and merciful and patient with me, that God knows my deepest thoughts and He loves me. All of this is true. We need to proclaim God's qualities, but then we need to remember God's blessings. And the ultimate blessing from God is the person of Jesus Christ. His greatest gift to us. One that David could not speak of in Psalm 103, because for David it was still just a concept of something that God was going to do in the future to bless the world through him. He didn't understand who Jesus was or what Jesus would do. But we have hindsight, and hindsight is 20/20, and we know who Jesus is and what he did and his death on the cross for us. So how do we apply praise to our own lives this morning? Since it is Thanksgiving, it's a good time to talk about this. How do we praise God? How do we bless his name? How do we talk to our own souls like David did? Well, first thing is to rehearse God's character. That we need to take the time personally to sit down and to praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O your soul. Maybe that means to take out the Word of God and to read. Maybe just Psalm 103 to go through and look at all of these things together. In fact, take Psalm 103 just for a second and follow along with me. It's a psalm of David. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. So your soul, your inmost being, with everything you are. The Message version says, I will praise him from head to toe. Praise his holy name. His name is set apart. It's sacred. And he even names him the Lord, Yahweh. Praise Jehovah, the personal God of Israel. Not just any God, but the true God. It says, forget not all of his benefits, all of his kind deeds, all of the blessings that have flowed into your life. And then he says, he forgives your sins, he heals your diseases, he redeems your life from the pit, he crowns you with love and compassion. In other words, he pulls you from hell and puts a crown on your head, a crown that says, beloved. And you wear that crown that God has placed on your head. He has pulled you from hell and placed that crown on your head where others can see, this one is loved by God. Can you imagine wearing that crown? He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, that God is the fountain of youth, that he renews us and he puts a bounce in our step and he gives us energy to face the day. The Lord works righteousness and justice. He is always fair toward those who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, and when the people of Israel see the name Moses, automatically they think of the slavery in Egypt and their deliverance by the Red Sea being split in half and Moses and the people of Israel crossing the Red Sea, and they know what he's talking about. He has made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. So what was your Red Sea? What was the moment when God took you from the slavery of this world and blew open the sea and through Christ you marched across? Verse 8, the Lord's compassionate. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. He abounds in love toward you. He will not always accuse. Sometimes we have a picture of God as the accuser. But Scripture tells us that that's not God's job. Somebody else does that. That God's job is to be compassionate and loving and gracious. He will not harbor his anger forever. Verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. And that's good because our sins deserve eternal separation and death. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so his love is for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. You think about a dad and the love he has for his children. You think if you're a father, you understand what that means. The love that, the compassion that you have toward your children. That's the type of love that God has for you. For he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we are dust, that the life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. I was outside yesterday. I looked up at the trees and I said, where are the leaves, man? They're gone. It's over, right? It's winter. And that's what life is like, is what the Scripture says. It flourishes one day, the wind blows, and it's gone the next. And his place remembers it no more. Verse 17, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Look, we are temporary, but God's love is eternal. That's what it says. Our lives are short, but God is eternal, and he invites us into that eternity. His righteousness is for us, and it's for our children's children. Verse 18, with those who keep his covenant, remember to obey his precepts, these things are true. In other words, his people, those who have put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, have kept the covenant, not on their own, but through Christ. And we have obeyed his precepts, not in our own experience, but through Christ. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Over all. There is not one living being that is not under the control and the authority of our Almighty God. And this is the God that we praise. This is the God that the angels praise, verse 20. This is the God that the mighty ones praise. This is the God that the heavenly host, the armies of heaven praise. This is the God that the servants here on earth and up in heaven praise. This is the God that all his works everywhere should praise. His entire dominion, his entire kingdom, and most importantly, at the end of the verse, at the end of verse 21, David comes home again. Praise the Lord, my soul. No, let all praise God and let it begin with me, David says. So we should rehearse God's character often. This is who you are, God. We should go over it. Or maybe we should just pick one and meditate on it. You know, maybe just take one like you do not treat us as our sin deserves. And just meditate on that for a little while. I know what I deserve, God, because of my sin. But you're not going to treat me according to that sin. What a great blessing that is. Just rehearse God's character, but then also recall God's blessing. And this is what we call thanksgiving. What do you have to be thankful to God for? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Or just pick one. Just pick one and meditate on it. Allow your entire being, your soul, to be filled with praise for who God is and what he has done for you. Your emotions, your heart, your mind, yeah, even let your emotions get involved in it. Even become thrilled with who he is. That's praising the Lord, oh my soul. And then finally, respond as only you can. Respond as only you can. See, God doesn't want other people to praise him. He wants you to praise him. All right, he wants all of us to praise him. But see, he's concerned with your heart. He created you to praise him. But we should all be praising him together, mixing all of our voices and singing together the name of the Lord. But understand something. Praising God is more than just words. Praising God is more than just thanksgiving. Right? Praising God is more than just Sunday morning, coming together and singing songs. Praising God is more than just music. I believe God designed this great gift called music for us to enjoy and to participate in order to blend our voices to worship him, but that's not all praise is about. That's just one part. Praising God is taking your soul, which is filled with praise, filled with gratitude toward him, filled with an understanding of who he is and how he's blessed you, taking that soul and allowing it to seep out through your personality and your gifts. So you are unlike anyone. So the way that you praise God is unlike anyone. You need to respond and praise God as only you can do. Nobody else can praise God like you can, because you've been designed as an individual with different gifts, abilities, talents, a different way of thinking, a different way of experiencing. Nobody else is like you. And God needs for you to play your part in the symphony of praise, for you to play your instrument so that it blends with all the rest. And it might not look like all the rest. I mean, have you seen an orchestra before? There's some funny looking instruments in that orchestra. Have you seen a bassoon before? I mean, I don't know how someone plays this thing. I'm glad I didn't have to carry that thing home every day after school, you know? Have you seen some of these instruments? They all look different. They all make weird, different sounds. Some of them weirder than others. But you put them all together. Have you ever heard an oboe? I don't know if you can play an oboe well. It just really is a difficult instrument to play. There's this little stick that sticks up, and you put your mouth on that and blow into it. I have no idea how that produces music. It sounds sort of like a goose or a duck or something. Have you seen a French horn? It's a beautiful instrument. You know, we take a French horn and we hang it on our Christmas tree in little miniature because it's so beautiful. Anybody ever tried to play one of those? The notes are so close together, it sounds like an elephant when you blow into it. It's very difficult to play, but here's the thing. You take all of these instruments, and yes, I'm referring to you because we're all strange in our own way as well. We're all French horns and oboes and bassoons. We're all different. But God somehow takes us, fills us with gratitude and blessings and praise for Him, brings us together, and we each in our own way make our own unique, distinct sound, and it rises up to heaven and puts a big smile on His face. Because it's the most beautiful music that He can hear. And He hears your part. You know that? If you listen to the choir, sometimes you can pick out some voices. Now, some of them are afraid to sing out real loud. I don't know why that is. But we need to take control and say, you know what? My voice is in this choir for a reason. So I'm going to blurt it out. And if I make a mistake, it's going to be a loud mistake. And everyone's going to hear it. And we just need to sing out, each one of us, in the choir. Because all of our voices are here together for a reason. Now, sometimes when you're sitting out in the auditorium, you can pick out a voice or two and say, oh, I hear so-and-so. I hear them. That's good. That's good. I think we need to be heard. Each one of us needs to contribute and be a part of this praise, this song that goes up to God through our lives. Think about what thanksgiving and praise looks like coming from your soul. Now, if you woke up this morning and said, my heart was a little bitter, my heart was a little angry, my heart was a little depressed, my heart is just heavy, the best prescription for that is praise. Sit down and remember who God is and what He's done for you. Sit down and remember what God's plans are for you yet to come, His promises. Think about all of that and let your soul be filled with praise and gratitude for Him. And then out of the overflow of what He fills you with, be creative. Realize who you are and respond only as you can. I don't know what that looks like. For some of you, it looks like a quilt. For some of you, it looks like a piece of furniture that you craft. You know, for some of you, it looks like music. For some of you, it might, you know, manifest itself in you know, the work that you do, the food that you produce. I know that they're praising God when they're smoking pork butts because, you know, I know that that's happening. Whatever gift it is that God has given you, whatever talent and ability, allow the praise of God and the gratitude for Him to come out through that. It's not just about our words. It's not just about our songs. It's not just about Thanksgiving, Sunday morning. It's about your entire life. May your life be a praise song that is lived out to God. Whatever it is you do, do it out of a full soul, a soul filled with the blessings and the benefits of God. In other words, it's not thanksgiving. It's thanksliving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word to us this morning. And we confess before You, Lord, that we are people who live in a broken world, and sometimes our focus is taken off of You and onto the troubles of this world, and we get frustrated. We begin to hold a little pity party, privately and publicly. Lord, we begin to complain about the state of things. We think about the good old days that if we were to really go back, we would recognize they weren't all that great either. Father, that our hearts, instead of being filled with praise, are filled with complaints. Lord, we confess that before You this morning, that is sin. Father, help us instead this morning to be filled with gratitude for who You are and what You've done. Let us not forget all of Your benefits, all of Your blessings. Help us, Lord, to focus on who You are. Help us to recognize individually, Lord, how You have blessed us. And Father, help us not to take it for granted. So fill us with a recognition of who You are and what You've done. And then, Father, help us to bleed that through our lives. Father, that we might live our thanks. Father, that others might know that we serve a great God because of the things that we do, the way that we live, the gracious words that come from us, the good deeds that come from our lives. And Father, that people would know that Quaker Gap is a church that praises the Lord, not just because of the music, not just because of the looks on our faces, not just because of Sunday morning and what we do here. May they know that we are a church that praises God because they see the evidence of it every day. And every moment, as we are ambassadors of your grace and your love. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, and inspire us today, Lord, to not just celebrate Thanksgiving, but to celebrate Thanksgiving. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.